Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
By the CEO and founder of Lansdowne Property Group, Jonathan Koller, who joins us now to give us some more insight around the concerns, impact, considerations that we need to bear in mind regarding the hold in the repo rate, but also potential impact of VAT increases. Such a pleasure to have you, sir.
Thanks, Google. Thanks for having me. It's great to be in studio.
I'm excited to speak to you because it sounds like you're Mr. Property, right? And this is where we can really deep dive into many of the issues and opportunities that we do see in the property space. Before we got to Thursday's MPC announcement, maybe let's just start there. What were some of the overriding trends that we had actually witnessed when it comes to the property market in South Africa?
Yeah, well, I think that sentiment overall had improved slightly. You know, we've had a couple of interest rates reduction, 25 basis points each time. And I think a lot of property developers and estate agents throughout South Africa were really hoping for another 25 basis points drop, because every single time it goes down, obviously affordability goes up, you know. So, I mean, if you're a tenant, for example, and you're renting, every single time the interest rate goes down, your bond repayment gets closer and closer to your rental payment.
Yes.
You know, so it would definitely stimulate the market and sort of get tenants closer to a situation where they can buy, and then that can drive the market. I'd say that that's probably more in the sort of lower to middle income categories more than the sort of upper market, you know, because, you know, the rental return and bond repayments are very, very close, you know, in the lower to middle market.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, in the more sort of upper market, it makes less of a difference in terms of affordability for buyers.
Got you. And that's actually what we have been seeing in terms of the shift, right? And maybe the property trends that you've highlighted. I'm keen to understand, now that we've seen a hold in the repo rate, it almost seems as though, like, that optimism and that rally we were on in terms of interest rate cuts has now taken a bit of a pause and a breather.
Yeah.
What implications could happen here?
Look, I think that they're being careful. And I think that's probably the correct decision, even though we were all sort of hoping for a 25 basis points cut. You know, I think internationally, you know, they have to have a look a lot at America. You know, if you have a look, you know, our market sort of is really backed on the American market. And having a look at markets over the last month, the markets have really been hammered. And I'd say they're about 6% down in the first 3 weeks of this month.
True.
And I think a lot of that sort of has to do with, you know, potentially the American market being slightly overpriced. And then, you know, when Trump came into power and the instability, you know, with sort of the trade wars at the moment,
yeah.
I think that South Africa needs to be careful in terms of being too aggressive, you know, because you don't want to drop it by 25 basis points and then have to increase it again. So I'd say it's probably the correct decision to go with at the moment. And hopefully, if inflation stays at the sort of rate that it is now and doesn't increase too much, we can have another 25 basis points drop just to stimulate that market again.
100%. I'm crossing my fingers and I'm holding my thumbs, Jonathan, because it does add a benefit for many of us as homeowners. What I'm keen to understand, especially given the space that you work in, you started your business back in 2006 and you operate in all the major metros, Johannesburg, parts of KZN, as well as the Western Cape. And as we know, these are the three major hubs where we see a lot of activity. I'm keen to understand, what have you seen in terms of, you know, the outcomes of yields and activity, especially within these three particular nodes? Has that, you know...
Yeah, so it's interesting. So let's start with Johannesburg, you know, because we're here in studio in Johannesburg at the moment. You know, unfortunately, the Johannesburg market hasn't seen any capital appreciation, I would say, for 15 years.
Whoa.
Literally, I mean, you do have pockets of capital appreciation, you know, in very secure estates, for example, if you have a look at maybe a Waterfall or a Stain City, you know, extremely secure estates where they're sort of a market within a market.
Gotcha.
You know, so we've got some capital appreciation there. But I mean, I'll give you an experience share. I mean, I've owned a property business for 18 years and I currently rent my property. And people say, why do you rent, not buy?
Yes.
Why do I rent, not buy? Because it is generally cheaper to rent than it is to buy. And with no capital appreciation, it's not an asset, because it's not appreciating in value, it's depreciating in value. However, recently I just bought my home. Because I believe it's the bottom of the market in Joburg. So a little bit of a tip. I mean, not always right, but I'd say that we've probably bottomed out in Johannesburg. And if you're looking to buy, in my opinion, it's a great time to buy.
Gotcha.
You know, so the yields are very...
And hold on, maybe also say that because it's not as competitive now, right? Or
I'd say that...
The more interest rates go down, the more competitive it will be, because affordability will go higher.
Yes, yeah. I think you sort of need to, it's difficult to time the bottom end of the market because you have to, you know, if you wait for too many interest rates decreases, the property price is going to start to appreciate and then you're not going to get the best deal.
Gotcha.
So especially with the interest rates being held now, I'd say it's a perfect time to buy in Johannesburg because I think interest rates in time will go down. And I think capital appreciation will start in Johannesburg once again.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the semigration trend of people going down to Cape Town as well as KZN, in my opinion, the majority of people who would have gone to Cape Town have gone. And the people who are now in Joburg are in Joburg to stay.
Mm.
So that's what's happening in the Johannesburg market. I'd say rental yields are quite good in the Johannesburg market at the moment because you can buy at 2007 prices and get a rental that is still giving you sort of a 9% net rental yield, which is a very good yield.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, it's a really good yield, and it's better than you'll get in the bank. But still, there's no capital appreciation. You know, so I mean, each year you're going to count your rental yield, and then you're going to count your capital appreciation as well. You obviously only get that when you sell.
Got you.
You know, but Joburg you're saying 0.00 each year, whereas in Cape Town you're saying 6 or 7% every single year,
just
plus
capital appreciation,
plus a good yield. You know, so you're getting between 15% and 16% total return on investment per year, but that's only if you sell.
Mm.
So in Cape Town, we're getting, yeah, just to give you a comparison, in Cape Town, you know, over the last year, we've seen sort of a 7% capital appreciation this last year, which is very good.
Whoa.
I recently had the decision, I've been trying to get my wife to move to Cape Town for the last 3 years.
Uh-huh.
She's an advocate, so obviously I lost that argument and we're still in Joburg and I just bought here. So she actually reversed psychology me there.
Smart woman.
But I think that I'd be apprehensive to buy in Cape Town at the moment, purely because I feel that it is at the top end of the market. I feel that, as I said before, the semigration trends, most of the people who have left have left.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the people who have left from Johannesburg and realize that they're actually renting a place at twice the value for the same place that they're living at, and it's maybe a slow environment and they don't have their family who are moving back, I'd say the semigration is getting less and less and less. The you know, around the Atlantic seaboard, Constantia area, I mean, you're still getting international buyers driving that price up.
Yeah.
But as the rand strengthens against the US dollar and the euro, which it has been, you know, that's also going to get less. So I'm not saying that guys need to be overly concerned. However, I wasn't willing to pull the trigger on a place to live in Cape Town because I didn't see value there. It was three times the price of the property in Joburg.
Sheesh.
And I couldn't see the value.
Gotcha.
So it's still a good place to buy. The rental yields are sort of, you know, depending on the market, are also sort of 9-10%. Rental
mm-hmm.
yields are great. That's in your sort of smaller buy-to-let market, not in your more exclusive high-end market.
Gotcha.
And then in KZN, like in areas like a Ballito and Umhlanga, we've seen sort of 5% capital appreciation plus minus.
Okay.
But the rest of KZN is really, really struggling. I'd say, you know, they've been hit with
the bad weather.
They've been hit with multiple things. You know, they've been hit with floods. They've been hit with riots. They've been hit with infrastructure really collapsing around them. So again, they're specific. I mean, if you buy in
Hillcrest,
a Zimbali,
in
like a really good area, you're going to get the capital appreciation. But in other places, really, really struggling. And I've seen that with our property developer clients as well, where, you know, the sales have really slowed, even in the sort of affordable to middle market.
Which would be like a million and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's slowed. And I think it's, again, like right in the beginning when people were deciding, okay, Joburg's not doing so well, let me go to KZN. They went to KZN. They had a couple of flights, floods, a couple of riots, a little hurricane, which was isolated.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, like when you get hit with a few of those things and you've got those guys potentially saying, okay, maybe I should move to Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
And they're moving to Cape Town, whether they're staying there or they're moving back to Joburg, not 100% sure, you know, but we'll see.
Got you.
But that's really sort of across South Africa where the opportunities are.
That gives us a lot of perspective, especially because it's the markets that you're in and places and spaces that many of our listeners would be familiar with. What I'm hoping you can also help, I guess, explain to many of us is capital appreciation and perhaps why it has been such a laggard in terms of performance. Because as I'm listening to you, it almost sounds as though this is a matter of sentiment, not necessarily supply and demand. But help us contextualize
that. Yeah, well, I mean, I think it is sentiment to a big extent. I mean, when I go back to Johannesburg as well, you know, people who could spend 6 million rand, let's say, on a home are having a look and thinking, should I be buying in a place where there hasn't been capital appreciation for years? Is the government of national unity going to make a difference? Let's see the difference. Like their sentiment difference.
Gotcha.
And then let's see the difference. Let's see the roads get better. Let's see the municipalities become more profitable, and they're holding back on it. You know, so it's sentiment to a certain extent, but it's also people want to see action to the place where they're putting, for a lot of people, the largest asset that they'll ever own.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, you know, if you look at the rand depreciation against the US dollar, I think that's also a big one. You know, listen, a person who's living in Joburg, who's buying his first home, the rand dollar depreciation is not really a big factor to look at. You know, but if you look over the last 30 years, on average, 8% depreciation against the dollar per year, 8%. So if you're looking at buying an investment property, for example, you're looking in Joburg, you're looking at one bedroom, one bathroom in the northern suburbs, in Paulsdorf, Four Ways, Lone Hill, those areas, and you're paying 680,000, you have to say, and a lot of those people would be buying it with debt, you know, so it's, they sort of buy it with debt, they put a tenant, the tenant sort of services most of the debt. But if you're an investor sort of putting a larger cash component down, you're looking at it and you're thinking, if I put it in a US dollar rand hedged offshore equity, I could access it at any time, and no matter what the market does, I'm going to make 8% against the rand, and I can pull it out whenever I want.
Liquidity.
So, so I think people, I mean, it's sentiment, but it's also like people want to see action.
Yeah.
And also a freestanding home, you know, people are apprehensive. In Johannesburg now, you can buy freestanding homes for absolutely nothing.
Cheaper than what they used to be.
Much cheaper. Because people, from a security perspective, people are nervous to live in a freestanding home. They say...
Even families.
I mean, it's obviously based on affordability as well, you know, but if you're in a stone city, if you're in a waterfall, if you're in a middle-income estate, but it's got 24-hour security, you've got neighbors, you've got a lifestyle center with a pool and free Wi-Fi and all of those things, people are scared to live in a freestanding home from a security perspective. Maintenance costs are high. So I think, yeah, to buy a freestanding home in a good area that you think infrastructure will improve at the bottom end of the market, there's a lot of value there.
100%. And I actually would have thought that the freestanding nuance or consumers, I guess buyers preferring sectional title, would have been because more women are typically purchasing property and they're buying it for themselves, their families, single women moving in. Is that still a trend that you're seeing, especially maybe within the middle income segment?
So what's nice that we've, what's nice about our estates, you know, I mean, we've got estates like Orlando Towers in Soweto that we manage. You know, that's a really great sectional title estate to see because it's first-time homeowners at sort of like 600,000 rand entry level. Yeah. And we are seeing a lot of women buyers. You know, in terms of trends of what type of units, you know, they're old sort of, I think it's more of a fallacy. You live in a middle floor unit, it's safer. We don't find that, you know, like if you live in a secure estate, whether you're on the ground floor, we're on the middle floor, we're on the loft unit, yes, it might be harder to break into a top floor unit, but really if you secure in the estate that you're living in, you feel secure wherever you're living.
100%.
You know, so we've got a wide range from sort of entry level 600,000 all the way up to a stone city that we manage as well. But you know, so it's nice to see sort of the different trends from a first time, one of the first sectional title developments in Soweto, literally opposite.
Yeah, I see it.
The towers.
Yeah.
All the way up to a stone city, which is sort of super exclusive.
Yeah.
You know, just to see what's happening with the different markets.
And they've been introducing a lot more of the apartments now, if I'm not mistaken, 100%. Just to get into the market there. And one that should leave all of us a lot more educated, informed, and just in the know. Regardless of which side of the spectrum you might be on when it comes to the property space. We welcome your questions on 0668 80959, or maybe just your experience. Are you someone who was looking to buy property? Maybe you've pressed the pause button on the back of the repo rate being unchanged. Or maybe now that we know that we got that cumulative 75 basis point cut back last year, you're a little bit more aggressive. You've kept your powder dry and maybe you're keen to get out there in the market. Well, we'll want to find out from you in terms of your experiences as we are in conversation with Jonathan Koller, CEO and founder of Lansdowne Property Group. He's giving us some insight into some key trends we need to be mindful of, especially when it comes to the impact of the repo rate, but also the context of the impact, potential impact of the VAT increase, proposed VAT increase of about 50 basis points. Jonathan, I'm loving this conversation because it's really giving us some insight. And as you said, quite literally from Soweto to Steyn City. So we're getting clarity in terms of a 360 view of what is unfolding in the property space. And maybe let's talk VAT for a moment, because property owners might think, hold on, that doesn't play an influence, but it does. Any costs associated with the management or ownership of a property has VAT consequences at some point. Help us understand what we need to be mindful of in terms of the proposed VAT increase and what it could mean for property owners.
Yeah, I think the difficulty is, I mean, it will affect if you're buying from a property developer and they're charging you, yeah, it's sort of VAT inclusive because you're buying it off plan. So there's no transfer duty per se. But I highly doubt that the developers or service providers of your property, once you bought it, are going to absorb, you know, that 0.5% increase of VAT.
On a million rand property, that's a huge sum of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, so it's you know, I think that property prices are going to become more expensive, you know, whether you're buying them from a developer or you're buying them secondhand. I mean, even with the transfer duty as well, sort of going from 1.1 million to 1,210,000 being transfer duty free. I mean, that only really equates, it is a good, it's a step in the right direction, but it only equates to 3,300 rand saving. Jeez. So if you buy a property for 1,210,000, it's the equivalent of buying it for 1.5. So yes, you save 3,300, but it just seems like quite a low amount that you do save. Similarly to maintenance of properties, I mean, if you've got a garden and maintenance companies, you know, like we have in our estates that we manage, or you've got a security company, or you've got an estate agent charging the seller of a property 5% commission, and they excluding the VAT amount.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be paying that 0.5% more. So it's going to cost buyers more, and it's going to cost sellers more, and it's going to cost everybody more. Oof. Whether you're buying, you know, whether you're putting you know, a new set of clothes in your wardrobe,
right,
and you're buying a property, I mean, it's going to cost.
And I'm glad you mentioned this, because it hits us right across the spectrum, right? Whether you're buying an affordable property for 700,000 rand or 7 million rand, essentially, the impact will be felt. What about the impact when it comes to the further maintenance of the property, especially on the back of the fact that when we think about load shedding and even the water cuts we've been experiencing, a lot of property owners have actually been actively investing in making sure that they can live their life partially off the grid to some extent.
Yeah, I think you know, the biggest problem that we have when we're managing our estates is to explain and educate to a first-time homeowner the importance of paying levies. This is a vital thing, you know. So I mean, we'll obviously provide a budget for a development going forward, and then we'll work out the levy schedule. Okay, and then it gets divided into the square meterage of the unit that you buy, and gets put into sort of a participation quota. And we say, let's say the entire development's monthly cost is 300,000 rand a month, and that gets divided between the owners.
Gotcha.
And then you're paying your levy towards that. But when you get 20 or 30% of the owners who don't pay levies, we can't then maintain the development.
Mm-hmm.
We can't pay service providers. Then the security company stops working because they're not getting paid.
Mm.
And then the value of their asset goes down. So it's a very difficult thing for us to sort of try and explain to guys how important it is, you know.
And to factor that in your budget before purchasing the property.
Yeah. And also just to explain that if they don't pay their levies, they're never going to get a clean audit. They're not going to be able to resell the property. And it's not as simple as getting together with a couple of the people in the community in the scheme that you live in, say, we think these levies are high, we're not going to pay levies. I can promise you right now, if you don't pay levies, your asset will never appreciate in value ever.
Jonathan, because you're teaching us something, especially for first-time property buyers. How critical is that? Because it's not just you paying the money over, and granted, a lot of South Africans complain that it's quite expensive, but such is the cost of actually maintaining a property of that particular size, especially in a communal space. But help us understand the role and responsibility of the body corporate, the adequate financial management of the levies, and what the downstream consequences are if not managed effectively.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very it's very, very important to explain from a lot of people who have come maybe from family homes,
yes,
freestanding homes, or maybe an RDP home, you know, where they've added on, and they're just sort of living with their family. Now they're purchasing a first-time home, say for 600,000 rand, mm-hmm. and they're getting 100% bond, and they move in, and they don't understand that in sectional title, it includes things like your garden maintenance company, your building insurance, mm-hmm. your managing agent fee, your mm-hmm. security company, et cetera, et cetera. And, when the property registers into your name and the body corporate is formed, the owners of that property at the inaugural annual general meeting, they vote in trustees, and the mm-hmm. trustees are representatives of the owners, and those trustees then make decisions on behalf of those owners
exactly.
for the best of the body corporate. Mm-hmm. But people don't understand that if they don't pay their levies, when they try to sell that property and the collections are bad and we can't get a clean audit, they'll never be able to sell. They'll be stuck with that asset, and the asset will never appreciate. It'll go from 600,000 to 500,000 to 400,000, and eventually it will just be a dead asset. It is so vital to pay levies, and if they think that the levies are too high, they need to join the board of trustees.
Yes.
And they need to find out what's going on. They need to attend the AGMs. AGMs are one of those things that people don't
yes.
attend.
Yes. Oh, you know,
because they are
goodness.
Sort of boring meetings, and mm-hmm. they go on and people and planning about a barking dog or a rude security guard or whatever it is. But it's so vital. I mean, knowing what's going on in an AGM and the financials of your body corporate is as important as knowing that the bank
yes.
that you money in is not going under.
Exactly.
Because that's exactly what's happening. If you're not paying your levy, the bank that is giving you your money is going under. You're going to lose all of your money. It's the same with your asset.
Precisely.
It's so vital. I could speak about that for hours.
Oh, goodness. Well, we need you here for even longer. But this conversation has gotten so exciting. We've gotten a few of our listeners participating. So we'll start with a voice note, which is a question. And then we do have Takalani from Johannesburg, who has dialed in with the call. So let's start with the voice note that we have.
I just wanted to find out, man. I operate in the low-cost property development market standalones. My concern is the inflation on the land prices. What could be the trend in the next 5 to 10 years? Could we see land still increasing non-stop? Because we used to have land for 200,000, now it's around 350, 360. And that affected our business because prices needed to go up, and now we are pricing ourselves out of the market, you know, our low-end type of market. So I just wanted to find out from him, when they do their studies or when they do their analysis, will we see a decrease in terms of the land prices, or will we still see an increase?
Parenti, thank you so much. Great question there. Jonathan?
I think the fact, you know, from a developer perspective, I can understand how it's concerning, you know, that it's going up to 350,000, you know, because maybe your affordability and your buyers is putting pressure on your buyers to be able to buy what you are building and selling. But on the other hand, it's good for a investor of yours that bought for 200,000 and is now their land's worth 350,000, you know. So I think it's very, and it's very area specific, you know. I mean, we manage quite a few affordable developments throughout the country. I mean, I can think of Conradie Park, you know, which is mm-hmm. a new sort of affordable precinct, which is in Pinelands in Cape Town.
Okay,
that's a development between Concord and Western Cape government.
Oh, I
it's see. An amazing estate,
affordable housing.
Gotcha. And people are so sensitive to the pricing. They are super, super sensitive. You know, if the purchase price goes up 50,000 rand, they can either afford to buy it or they can't. Mm. You know, so I think, you know, will it go down in value? I mean, I hope that it doesn't. And perhaps if your model isn't working in the area that you're doing your developments, perhaps look at other areas, you know, that you could buy land cheaper. But that's one of the success stories, you know. If a buyer bought a stand from you for 200 and now it's worth 350, although it becomes more expensive for you to do a new development, I'm sure that buyer is happy that he bought from you, and he'll probably buy from you again. You just have to readjust your model maybe, or look at different areas.
Got you. This takes me back to that principle of location, 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 which is always a key principle. I remember driving down the N2 in KZN, and there's this new city that's actually being developed further north, just after you drive past the hill. That also caught my attention in terms of property prices.
That's Shongweni.
There's like a whole distribution center there. Yeah, Ackermans yeah. and yeah, yeah, I they, forgot the other.
They actually had the last week.
Really?
Yeah. Gosh, yeah, that's going to be an exciting area. That's like a redevelopment of a whole area. Developments like that are amazing because, you know, it's just, you know, the infrastructure, the amount of jobs it brings to the area and the mix use of sort of affordable housing, middle class housing, retail, commercial. It actually changes an entire area.
Got you.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. Heavy infrastructure refurbishment there, especially along the high. See how my brain thinks. Like, I always think, like, what's happening here? But let's take a call from Takalani. If you could put your headphones on just to make sure that you could hear him. Takalani, welcome to Kai Biz.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
I'm fine. First time caller, but I'm always listening to your show because I'm also in the financial sector as well as a manager in one of the insurance, which I won't mention. But the topic for today with Jonathan, it caught me into my eye because I'm staying in a body corporate, which is a townhouse, which I bought 2023. But now I just recently found a partner and then we bought the property together and it's approved by the bank.
This is a new property, separate from the townhouse.
Area. So my question is, we decided, both me and my partner, to sell the properties that we have instead of renting so that we can acquire full affordability to the new property that we're going to stay together. And then we are busy with the lawyers to for finalizing because they already approved with the bank. The question I want to find out on the issue of, did we took a right decision to sell both our properties so that we can concentrate in one property during this time of the economy? I'm in Joburg.
100% got you. Any specific area, West Rand, South?
Yeah, I'm here in Boksburg.
Boksburg, okay, perfect.
Okay, yeah, so we do manage properties in Boksburg, you know, so I mean, I know the area, you know, is that we manage is just off Atlas Road there, you know, so I mean, so we know the area. You know, I think the answer is it depends, you know, I mean, you know, if you have a look at the property that you bought and the property that your partner bought, you know, you've obviously made a decision to sort of buy, you know, maybe a larger property together, you know, so you've sort of, you've joined your affordability, which has put you in a good position to buy, I would guess, a larger property. And I think, you know, maybe that's the correct personal decision for you. But, you know, to have a look at it, I mean, I would perhaps do a deed search of the property that you've just sold and the property that your partner has just sold, and maybe have a look over the past 5 years and see what you purchased the property for and what you sold the property for. And then have a look at the capital appreciation of your property, have a look at the capital appreciation of your partner's property, and then do a deed search of the property that you guys are going in together now and have a look at the appreciation in the complex that you've bought now.
Got you.
And compare the capital appreciation of the two versus the one and see if percentage-wise the capital appreciation, I'd assume the larger property is a better buy. But I think with, and also, you know, whether, and, you know, that can depend on the type of development that you've bought in, you know, perhaps it's a slightly better area in Boksburg, perhaps it's got, you know, better communal areas, you know, like a clubhouse with a tennis court or a pool, perhaps the security is better, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so I think, you know, it's hard to say whether it's better to do that or not. I mean, it was obviously a personal decision, which was better for you at the time, but from an investment perspective, look at the numbers and see what you bought them for, what you sold them for, what you bought the current property for, and go back and to compare what you bought the one bed for compared to the other one and see what is a better investment. I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, but that's, have a look at the numbers. Numbers will show you if you've made the right choice.
Got you. And you can speak to any property practitioner. It's a wind deed search, right?
I mean, you can reach out to us as well. I mean, I'm happy to do the deed search for you. Perfect. It's very, very easy.
Awesome. Takalani, I hope that's been helpful. Thank you so much for calling. Hopefully this has been helpful for you. But it's not too late. You've taken a decision that does work for you. And of course, just make sure that you run the numbers. I must say, this has been so intriguing, and there's so many more layers to this conversation that I want us to get into, but we're limited for time. But I think what Takalani's raised is such an important point for us to bear in mind. So often, as you say, because property is one of the biggest purchases that you'll ever make in your life, it does come with a heightened level of caution. and just wanting to make sure that we've done the right thing. And I think this is an important takeaway for investors versus those perhaps who are just looking to purchase a property home where they envision themselves staying there for 7-10 years, establishing a family, and then eventually moving away. How should we approach these particular avenues?
It's difficult, but it's easy because I've sort of just made the decision myself, so I can give you a proper experience here. You know, I think if you the home that you're going to live in is not an asset, it's a property. People will argue it because you can buy the asset and hopefully it appreciates, etc. You know, but if you're living in a home, the asset that you're buying is your experiences. You're buying a home, you can be stable, you know, with your kids, and you can enjoy the space, and you can have your people over and your friends over, and obviously you can try and make sure that you do the best investment that you can at buying, for example, at the bottom of the market, doing your homework, etc.
Yes.
And in property, you need to look at the numbers. You need to look at the rental return.
Yes.
You need to look at the capital appreciation, and you need to get your total return on it, and that's an asset because you're buying an asset. You're putting a tenant in, which is producing revenue, which is paying your bond.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, it's appreciating in value, and then that's an asset. But if you view your home as not an asset, as a lifestyle choice that's going to make you happy over the next 20 years, and if it appreciates in value, that's great.
Yeah,
you'll be a lot happier investor.
100%.
So the one's an investment, the one's an experience. But obviously try and buy at the bottom end of the market if you can, to try and get as much capital appreciation as you can. But just know you're buying that home to make you happy, and you're buying your investment property to make your money.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's how I see it. But
experience over the numbers.
Exactly.
But as you said, that's an oversimplified version of it, but really does help.
Yeah, it's very simplified, but that sort of keeps me happy.
100%. Jonathan, this has been such a refreshing conversation, and I can imagine there'll be many of our listeners who want to get in touch with you and reach you. Your website, maybe if you could give us a reminder.
Yeah, it's www.lansdowne.co.za.
Perfect. And that's Lansdowne with an E at the end.
And a D.
And a D,
because
yes.
There's the area, Cape Town, which is L-A-N-S, and ours is L-A-N-D-S-D-O-W. So it's
perfect. Thank you for making time to speak to us this evening.
Absolute
this has been incredibly
pleasure.
Refreshing.
Great.
Thanks
for having me,
Jonathan. Jonathan Lansdowne. Wow.
I get called that a lot.
Oh, do you?
I get called that a lot.
Where does the name come from, by the way?
Because I grew up in my parents' house. We lived in Lansdowne Road, which is actually in Joburg. You know, so we when I was trying to name the business, I didn't want it to sound like a state agency, you know, like Jonathan Kohler Properties or anything like that.
Which is a lot of what your peers do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so Lansdowne sounded sort of corporate, and it was the home that I've got all of my happy memories, you know, with my folks and sort of growing up, you know, so I called it Lansdowne Property Group.
How refreshing.
So that's the story.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Kohler.
It's a pleasure.
The CEO and founder of Lansdowne Property Group. That's Jonathan Kohler joining us in studio tonight.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.